Now, before we start, just give me a minute. I just want to remind us again that the labor of the believer is in the realm of the spirit. Don't ever forget that. We don't labor outwardly primarily. I don't know how many of you have read that that sermon I sent around titled The Seeds of Your Destiny. All right? I explained that, you see, there's a life has seasons, seed time, and harvest. If something is coming with difficulty, all right, it's been hard to release, then what that means simply is that either you are not yet in the harvest season or you did not plant the right seeds at the proper time. So I wrote that article just to help people understand that. Plant the right seeds, all right, and do the watering of the right seeds, and in due season, you will enter into your harvest. How do you know harvest time? Harvest time is when you put in the same amount of energy you used to put in before, but this time around, you get 100 times the result you used to get those days. That's harvest. That is harvest, all right? There's a time in which you labor morning till night, you know, go here, go there, do your business, do all of that. At the end of the day, you are able to make maybe 10,000 naira, all right? After a few days of good, righteous labor. Then the time comes, you put in the same amount of energy, exactly the same. It doesn't bring you 10,000 naira, it brings you 1,000,000. You put in exactly the same amount of energy, or even less. It doesn't bring you 1,000,000 naira, it brings you 10 million. Then you know this is harvest. You understand? That's an illustration. I say it jokingly. Now, you can laugh when I say this. So. Normally, if I see one man, you can laugh. But I see a man, a young Christian man, pursuing one woman for a long time. Look at the way he's laughing. And then, last minute, I just disappoint him. I say, don't worry. That was seed time. Amen? He said, all the time I wasted, it's not wasting. It was what? Seed sowing. You were sowing seed. Then the time comes before you say, I will not know what you hear. It's, yes, I do. You're already on the altar. That's harvest. Amen? So don't ever feel bad when you sow seeds. Seeds are good. Anytime you finish sowing seed, you leave there empty-handed. You understand that? You go into a farm, you start planting. When you come in with one bushel, all right? You go in, you go out, how? Empty. You know, that's just seed time. But harvest season, what happens? You come in with no, you know, you come with implements, you go back with sacks on your shoulder. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Say, he that sows in tears. There's a time for sowing, all right? He said, the same person will reap with joy. He that goes forth bearing seed, all right, precious seed, shall doubtless again return with joy, carrying his sheaves, bearing his sheaves with him. What am I going to explain? Life has two seasons. Learn how to labor the labor of seed in the right season, and then the harvest will come with ease. It's not that there's no labor in harvest season, but the labor of the harvest season brings forth much result with very little effort. That's just what happens, all right? So why did I say that again? Christians must understand that our labor is spiritual. What did I say? Our labor is spiritual. We've been saying this again and again. Life is a battle of what? Words. Life is a battle of?
Words.
Life is a battle of?
Words.
Life is a battle of?
Words.
A lot of people, they use their mouth to destroy the destiny we are talking about. They get there, the thing is not producing. So it's very important we engage our mouth. You engage, you know, I said in the first prayer meeting we have for the year, that warfare is continual. It's every time. It's every time. Let's not forget that thing. What have I tried to emphasize today? Number one, that our labor is spiritual. Number two, life, again, we said, is a battle of words. We must, that is our spiritual labor. We fight it to a large extent with our words. And then number three, it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing. So I want us, again, to just go. I don't want to speak for so long today. That's why I said, let's rise to our feet immediately and just start praying. And in the same manner as we've done in previous times, I'm just going to lead the prayer. All I want you to do is just repeat what I have said. I can take a pause once in a while to allow you to use any words that you like, all right? But this is just to give us a guide. Now, don't forget something I've said again and again. We don't come here to pray. Do we come here to pray? No. What do we come to do? To learn how to pray. We come to form new habits, all right? It's not only when you get for a prayer meeting on Tuesday. That's when you do these things. No. What we are just trying to do is to form new habits, all right? Wake up in the morning and do this thing. Go to sleep at night doing this thing. Sometimes you're alone in your car, you are driving, or you're just alone. You just start talking to yourself. It's not empty. Remember what I said? It's seed time. You keep on sowing the seed. The time that the harvest will come, let me tell you the truth, a lot of times you will even have forgotten what you did. You will have forgotten. That's why, you know, when men are telling stories of their lives, look, I hear it with a lot of caution, because it's only the word of God that really knows what happened. Someone said, that morning, I just decided to wake up at 5, and breakthrough came. Some people now go and say, breakthrough is determined by whether you wake up by 5 or you don't wake up by 5. No. He said, he himself does not know how. So what do? We learn the word of God generally, and we do that which is right continually. And I'm saying to us again, our labor is spiritual, and the major portion of that spiritual labor is what we say with our mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let's start again today, especially in the light of what we've been learning over the last few weeks concerning righteousness. Everybody just declare it loud, say, in Jesus' name, I have passed out of darkness, and I have passed into light. Say it again, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have passed out of darkness, and I have passed into light. Say it, in Jesus Christ, I have passed out of darkness, and I have passed into light. Please say like you believe it. I have passed out of death. I have passed into life. It's only those who are on this side that are with me. Those on this side, I wonder where you are. All right? Look, don't mutter. All right? You know, you have to know I'm not alone. And sometimes when people say this and they say it like that, the spirit is, how do I say, it's dampened. All right? You want to jump up? No need. If you are feeling sleepy, shake your head. All right, and wake up, all right? Say this thing like you believe it. Just close your eyes, all right, and speak to yourself and speak into the air around you. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus,
I have passed out of death.
I have passed into life.
As it is written.
The Lord Jesus said to me,
he that hears my word
and believes who sent me,
the same has eternal life. And does not come into judgment,
but has passed out of death
and passed into life.
I have heard his voice,
and I have come to life.
As he said,
an hour is coming,
and now is,
when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God,
and those who hear shall live.
Say it, everything in me has come to life.
Because I have heard the voice of the Son of God.
Therefore, everything in me has come to life.
Say like you believe it, my spirit has come to life.
I was dead in my trespasses and sins.
But in Christ Jesus,
I have received life.
Because I have heard his word.
And I have believed his word.
Say it, my health has come to life.
My health has come to life.
Because I have heard his word.
The word which said,
himself took my infirmities
and bare my sicknesses.
And by his stripes,
I have been healed.
Say it, my body has come to life.
Premature death
and sicknesses,
they have been removed.
Say it again, premature death
and diseases.
They have been removed out of my life.
As it is written,
if Christ is in me,
though my body is subject to death because of sin,
yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness.
Say it, I have passed out of death.
Premature death has been removed.
Sicknesses have been removed.
As it is written,
if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me,
he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead
will also give life to my mortal body
through his spirit who indwells me.
Say, because of Christ,
my body has received life.
Say, because of righteousness,
my body has received life.
Say, I have not attained this righteousness by my own works.
I have attained it by grace.
Now say this like you believe it. I have been made righteous. You know, you see, this is something you must say with boldness. You know, for a long time, I didn't teach along the lines, these lines, because unconsciously, I thought every Christian knew it. It's recent times I realized that they don't. Many people are still afraid. Like I told you, Umrah said to me once, I don't know what I have done for God that should do anything for me. I started laughing. I didn't know Christians still thought like that. And that is what is called sin consciousness. You understand? You think there's a gap between you and your God. Listen, you must understand this, that righteousness is a gift. What did I say? That is, God looked at you and said, you, I love you. Come and take. The gift he gave you is called righteousness. It is not what you did or did not do. All you needed to do was to receive it. How do we receive it? We receive it by faith. Do you understand that? Now, so say it, I have received life,
I have received life
because of righteousness.
Say,
the Spirit is giving my body life,
the Spirit is giving my body life
because of righteousness.
It's making me remain young
because of righteousness. I did not attain this righteousness by my own works.
I have attained it by grace.
I have been made righteous.
Jesus Christ is my righteousness.
I have attained it by faith.
I do not approach God by my own works.
I do not pray in the power of my good works.
I approach him by my faith in Christ Jesus.
Say it, I have access by the power of the blood of Jesus.
As it is written,
we have confidence to enter the holy place
by the blood of Jesus,
by a new and living way,
by a new and living way,
which he inaugurated for us through the veil.
We have a great high priest
over the house of God,
so we draw near with a sincere heart,
in full assurance of faith,
having our hearts sprinkled clean
from an evil conscience,
and our bodies washed with pure water.
Say, like you believe it, I have boldness, therefore, in approaching God.
I have boldness in approaching God the Father,
because he is my Father.
Say it, I have boldness in approaching God
because I know he loves me.
Say it, I have boldness in approaching God
because I have been made righteous.
Say it again, this righteousness is a gift.
I did not labor for sin.
I did not labor to have my sins washed.
It came to me freely by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Therefore, I have confidence
that I am not a sinner anymore.
Say, therefore, I have confidence.
And I can say it boldly.
Satan, hear it.
My body, hear it.
Everybody around, hear this.
I am not a sinner anymore.
I am not a sinner anymore.
I have been set free by righteousness.
Therefore, I have boldness.
Therefore, I have the boldness
to face the challenges of life.
As it is written,
the righteous are as bold as a lion.
As it is written,
I am righteous.
Therefore, I am bold
as a lion.
I am bold in the face of troubles.
I am bold in the face of adversities.
I am bold in the face of tribulations and persecutions.
Because I have been made free.
Because I have been set free.
Because I have been made righteous
by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Because I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Say, as it is written.
Listen, why do I keep saying as it is written?
Because it's not just our desires. It is what God has said, that's what we are stepping into.
Humility is not to go around trying to put yourself down.
Humility is to make your judgments based only upon what God has said.
It is not humility if God says you are strong, you say I'm weak.
You know, say, you are not fit. You know, say people like us, we just try. There's nothing like that.
It is not humility to say I'm a sinner. You know, I'm always sinning. I can't help but sin. That is pride. That is an insult.
Humility is if God says it, it is like that.
I hope you're getting the point there.
Humility is that whatever God has said is what I believe is what I'm working by. I hope you are getting that point.
That's why we keep on repeating as it is written. So let's say it again. I have been made righteous. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As it is written. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf. That I might become the righteousness of God in him. We are talking about boldness. Say, I'm bold to face the plan of God for my life. I am not afraid of lack. I am not afraid of poverty. Listen, many people know what God wants them to do. Some people, because I'm a preacher, I can say this. They know that God wants me to do this. He wants me to leave this place and go to this other place and begin this kind of ministry. But money, I hope I will not. Poverty won't kill me. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's true. People are afraid. What is going to happen? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And where we dwell, shall we be clothed? And that's why I'm going over this again today to remind us that because we have been made righteous, we are bold as lions. You understand? And because of that, we can face the purpose of God for our lives. So let's declare boldly, I am not afraid of lack. I am not afraid of poverty. I am able to face the plan of God for my life. Say like you believe it. I am able to face the plan of God for my life. I am not afraid of poverty. It's so important. I said, this is the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor. So that I through his poverty might be made rich. Say like you believe it. Say it is written. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Say it also, it is written. Behold, he makes all grace abound towards me. That I, having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound unto every good work. Say like you believe. He say, behold, he makes prosperity flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Say, it's not because of my strength, but because of the righteousness of God which I have in Christ. Say it, it is written. It's not by my power. It is not by my might. It is by his spirit. Say, that spirit of God is working with me. That grace of God is working with me. To arrange events so that I will fulfill the will of God for my life. I recognize that I'm not my own. And I speak to my soul. Soul, listen. You are not your own. You belong to God. Just like Paul wrote, I belong to him. And therefore I serve him. Say, I serve God. Say it, I serve God. As it is written, he died for all, that all who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Say it, I live for God. Let me tell you something. You know why we do all of this? Like I keep on saying, we come here to begin it and then we'll continue every day in our lives. You are conditioning your body. What did I say? You are conditioning your reflexes. You are conditioning yourself in how you will react under difficult circumstances. When challenges come upon you, there are some things that just come out of you naturally. Are you getting my point? And how you condition yourself is by speaking words. This was what we are speaking today. I pray that you will hear it again and again and again and make it a constant part of your life. At that time, when pressure comes, you will do that which is right. Not because you want to do that which is right, but because you told your body ahead of time, this is what you will do, that which is right. When challenges come, when you're under pressure to do left or right, which one is the will of God, you are not even sure. Without your being conscious of which one is God's will, you will find yourself executing the will of God. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? You know, one sister asked me once, you know, we were discussing some things. I wasn't married that time. She's a senior person, you know, just counseling a young man that I was. So, and then I made a statement. You know, some people say that, look, you have to know the will of God. You have to know. So they go and practice how to tune the frequency of God and hear what God is saying. And like I say all the time, the number one way by which God speaks to people is a simple knowledge of that which is right and that which is wrong. this tuning and tuning and tuning. Most times you tune, you won't jam anything. The only way you can tune to hear God properly is to form a lifestyle of obeying the word of God continually. So I said to the sister who was discussing with me, I said, one of the things I have discovered or I have come to know, listen to this, so I said that I know that if I'm about to do that which is wrong, God will stop me from doing it and make me do that which is right. We're talking about marriage. I say I can never marry the wrong person. I say it's not possible. You know, some people say that means you know how to hear God. Around nonsense. I didn't used to hear anything. Are you getting my point? And I learned early enough not to try and hear anything. If you try to hear too much, you hear birds flying at night. Are you getting my point? If it's nighttime sleep, if God wants to appear in a dream, he will appear in a dream. People say, when you try, God will speak to you. Go and check those who you spoke to in the Bible. They did not try. It's only one person I remember trying. And that was he Elisha now, who said, bring me a minstrel. And he began to, you know, they sang small music for him. And then the Spirit came upon him. Most of that people were just going on their way. A lot of them will protest. Jeremiah, come. To where? Me? Can't you see I'm too small? I don't know how to talk. You will talk. Are you sure? You know, argument. They told Moses, talk. Moses said, this guy can't talk. The man was protesting, yet he was hearing the voice of God. Are you getting my point? Nebuchadnezzar did not go out to pray and fast. His heart just turned. Say, what's going to happen in the future? He dreamt and he began to see things. Are you getting my point? God knows how to communicate with you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He knows how to communicate. God will not speak Swahili to you when you know you don't even understand Hausa. If the only language you know is English, you know, he can speak English too. We say, look, you want to hear the voice of God? Go and learn Hebrew. It's not necessary. All right? Anyway, so I was telling that sister that day. I said, listen, this is what I have found out. I can never do that which is wrong. Not because I know how to do that which is right by myself. I said, but he leads me in the path of righteousness, not for my sake, but for his own name's sake. And I experienced those principles that I can never marry the wrong woman. That if I want to marry the wrong woman, God, if God has to break a leg, he will do it. That is, break my leg. And that's a matter of fact. And I said it and I believed it. That was why when the brother asked me, did God speak to you about the wife you marry? I said, yes. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Because until that moment, I was not sure. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. That was the moment when the whole thing done arranged finished. He now said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. You may own the bride. You understand my point? You know, I said, good, now I am certain. And I told my wife, there's something I want to tell you. And I said, okay, what is that you wanted to tell me? And I told her right there, I said, I love you. You are God's gift to me. Until that time, you are the girl I like. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway, let me get back to the main thing. So I was telling the sister then, I said, this is what I have come to understand. She now made a statement. She said, Banky, I hope you know that is not for everybody. She quoted one scripture. I have not been able to find that scripture since that time. I can't even remember it. But I remember what she said. She said something about Jacob. That thing you have described is only for those who have consciously carried themselves and given to God. Say, God, do with me as you deem fit. That never crossed my mind. She just said, listen, this is not for everybody. This thing you have told me now, that if I want to go wrong, God will make me go right. He said, it's only for those who have conscious, that is, they made a deliberate commitment to God and said, take this life, handle it whichever way you like. Do you get the point I'm going to make? That is, once you do that, events start playing later. And that's why we do all these things that we are doing. People want to learn how, when it's time to make this decision, how do I know the right one to do? How many things do you learn in life? They've taught you how to cross the road, praise God. You understand? Uh-huh. They've taught you how to drive a car, praise God. But they have not taught you how to handle to avoid that truck that's coming around the bend when you are not looking. They can't teach you that one. There are so many things in life you cannot be taught. There are too many things in life to learn. So what does God do? He said, don't worry about it. He ensures that he arranges events to bring forth his will in your life. And that's what we are saying. So we commit ourselves totally to God all the time and he arranges the rest. So what do we do? That's what I'm talking about. What we are doing is that we are committing ourselves, like that sister said to me then. We are saying to our bodies, look, you will do the will of God. Then after that, if we fall asleep, we'll fall asleep in the will of God. If we wake up, we'll wake up in the will of God. If we eat bread, that bread was baked in heaven's oven. You are getting my point? You wake up in the morning and say, hey, Lord, what do I wear today? God says, I know they talk. You just grab a tie. You put it on. That is the will of God for that morning. Why? Because before that day, you said to your soul, are you getting my point? You spoke to your life. You told it, this one, you will walk in the will of God. Then God accepted that sacrifice. Ah, TDJ is talking about the sacrifice of praise. That's real sacrifice. God accepts your life as a living sacrifice. That this one is my own, doesn't belong to anybody else again. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you, it's good to know, people say that how to be led by the Spirit of God. I've read a lot of books on it. And there are two books I still recommend on it till tomorrow. Those are the two best books on the subject I have read. One is Knowing God's Will by Zach Poonen, How to Recognize God's Voice by Graham Fitzpatrick. Those are the two books. They are the only two books I recommend on following the will of God. They are the ones I recommend. Because I found people who explained that it's not just by learning how to, you know, those of us who grew up in the Word of Faith movement, we learned how to, the voice of the inner spirit, then the voice of the Holy Spirit, then the voice of an environmental spirit. Then you hear all kinds of voices. And I've seen people who are thoroughly, in fact, my wife was there the other day, we were discussing. Somebody said she walked somewhere, and her boss would come and say, Holy Spirit told me to do this. Holy Spirit told me to do this. Said, but Holy Spirit never tells you to pay us. The Holy Spirit will never say you should pay us. Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, do this one. Holy Spirit say, don't do this one. But pay us now. Holy Spirit, not they remember to talk that one. Or if you like, Holy Spirit won't bring up that discussion, you go hurry. Say, Holy Spirit will talk later. I'm in a hurry now. I go, Holy Spirit said I should do this one. Christians have gotten confused trying to learn how to hear. Listen, you don't worry about that one. Are you saying God doesn't speak? I didn't say so. I said he knows how to shout. God, people say the Holy Spirit is only whispers. Who said so? Which Bible did you read? Did you hear that his voice is like the sound of many waters? What is your issue? There was a time God spoke, it was so loud, people thought it was thunder. It was loud. His voice penetrated the airwaves. Everything began to tumble. Only Jesus knew how to discern what he was saying. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Everybody said that was thunder. God will speak, mountains will catch fire. How told you that God only whispers? They said, if you don't know how to be quiet, you will not hear the voice of God. Don't worry. God knows how to slap people to get their attention. You don't believe it? Go and ask Bro Balaam. The guy mounted a donkey, was going, donkey carrying leg, jam wall. The guy, what is wrong with you? Move properly. Then his eyes open, he saw an angel in front. Jonah, go one direction, you know, one go. God said, we'll go arrange. Sea began to blow. God does not only whisper. Please, God does not always only whisper. He said, if you don't know how to hear the voice of God, he won't talk to you again. Listen, what is that little guy somewhere? He was confused. But God did not stop speaking until the guy got the correct order. The most important thing when it comes to hearing the voice of God is a habitual form of obedience. If you don't know how to obey the Holy Spirit, he won't talk again. That's not true. If you don't know how to obey the written word, that's when he doesn't talk. Do you get my point? Yes, because God does not speak concerning that which is clear. Good money, sir. Please, I'm hungry. Let me pray about whether I should give you money to eat. Because I know they talk. Hey, come on, the Holy Spirit talk. I want to know. Should I give him money to eat? Don't worry. Next time you need money too, I'll make all of them go into intercession. If he said, what if I'm not sure he's really hungry? Don't worry. He can't be too full. Give him the money. I told the story once. A friend of mine said, I don't give unless God speaks to me. You're a stingy man. Why don't you breathe unless God speaks to you? You wake up in the morning and say, honey, what's wrong? The Lord has said I should breathe this morning. No, you breathe because you are alive. The only time I need special revelation on whether I should give is when the giving is out of proportion. You know, like it doesn't make sense. Maybe all I have is 50 naira and I'm going somewhere too. And you need money. I can only give you part of it now, Abba. Those are the times Holy Spirit now say, don't worry. Give him the whole sum. I said, who was that? Says me. I said, okay. Why will he do that? He said, because I know normally you will have given him small. You're a good man. How do I know? It's in the scriptures. One day a man took Abraham's wife. And the Lord appeared to him at night. Say, you're a dead man. He said, Which one concerning me, concerning death? You took a prophet's wife. He said, but you were there. He said, it's my sister. God said, I know that normally you don't behave like this. That is why I have bothered to come and talk to you. That is the man who behaves normally towards other people's wives. When he mistakenly takes the one that somebody's wife and he does not know, and his name is Abimelech, God will shout and say, don't try it. This one is a prophet's wife. Abimelech didn't have to go and say, speak to me. Holy Spirit, this woman, is she good or bad? Just took a woman and went to sleep. He said, I'll go arrange that one tomorrow. God said, arrange with it. I'll go soon arrange you. But the point is that, what was the first thing? He had the habit of doing that which is right. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why this is so crucial. People sit down and say, I've learned how to pray now until I hear the voice of God. I'm not impressed. Listen, I'm not impressed. I entered into a rock, segregated myself until God will speak. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, just not impressed. If you hear I entered into a rock to go, me, I went to go and read my Bible and pray. If God wants to speak, let him speak. If he doesn't want to talk, no be by force. I will have direction one way or the other. That one is certain. I will have direction. Many people have heard voices until the voices drive them crazy. They drove them crazy. It's true. You start operating by voices. So I was coming this morning, the Lord said to me, turn your steering. Then I said, press your brake. Accelerator after that. Put on your trafficator. Listen, God didn't say anything to me. That's just how to drive. Are you getting the point I'm making? That what I want to do, we are speaking ahead, arranging, that is, rearranging our synapses, in the brain, arranging the nerves. This is how you connect when it comes to doing right. This is how you connect when it comes to doing the will of God in your life, even if it's difficult. You know, I told you before, the reason why in the army, you don't see your superior and just say, Mike, how far? Nothing like that. It is Monsa. See him 10 times a day. It's Monsa 10 times a day. Why? Because one day you are going to be in battle. He's going to be the commanding officer. And bullets are going to be flying over your head. And the man will say, advance. If you are used to negotiating with him, you will negotiate. And say, officer, I think the bullets are flying on. But if you are used to, yes, sir. As he says, advance. While your brain is trying to consider whether we should advance or not, your legs are still going. Because you have been conditioned. Are you getting my point? That's why it's so important you engage your mouth all the time. This is how we are saying, it's not just here. You go about life saying it. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. God has washed away my sins. I am bold. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of failure. Some people, they will do evil because somebody is threatening to sack them. You know what this is the right thing to do. Say, but if I do it now, they may sack me. You are the one they will sack first. I hope you know. I can prove from the scriptures, the Bible says, he that loves his life is the one that will lose it. Are you getting my point? But if you don't have any fear of if they sack me now, what will I do? You say, listen, this is the right thing to do. Good morning, sir. We have checked it. God, the principles of God, this is the right thing to do. We know that this will please you more, but this is the right thing to do. Like I was talking to somebody who called me today. I said, do the right thing first. You'll be amazed that the man who's making the wrong rules will learn from you. Some of us are denying people that we are supposed to teach. We are denying them that ministry because we are afraid to offend them. The Lord is good. What did I say? The Lord is good. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. All right, so what are we doing in all of these things? We are conditioning our systems. What did I say? We are conditioning our systems. We are wiring our synapses. Yes, we are. Say it again. Say, I recognize that I am not my own. I belong to God. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, he died for all. So that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Say it, wherever he says I should go, I will go. Whatever he says I should do, I will do. I will always have his word in my heart and on my lips. The word is all that I need.
Say, the word of God is all that I need. It is the carrier of his spirit. When I speak that word, help comes to me. Strength comes to me. Favor comes to me. Favor from the Almighty. And favor from every corner. In the name of Jesus Christ.